decision to be here today. Members, thank you as well. Thanks to those who have tuned in online as well. This time of the year is a busy time. We have a lot of folks traveling, a lot of people trying to get to families and such. And I guess right now, there are a lot of children whose hearts are really starting to flutter a lot. Just a few days, right? And they'll wake up on that Christmas morning, and for the year of them being the good boys and girls that they are, they'll see all those gifts. And what a blessing it is to know that they find happiness in areas we have forgotten about finding happiness. You know, it's amazing how children can teach us so many lessons. And, you know, today, I guess, throughout the religious world, there are a lot of people telling stories about the birth of Jesus. And certainly today, we will also talk about joy that come into the world, and that being our Savior, Jesus Christ. But, you know, as I think about that, I think that there are those probably in our number that maybe Christmas isn't what it used to be. Maybe it's not the excitement that these children have or what have you. And I think about that, and I've described it two ways. On one hand, you have a group of people that Elvis Presley, in one of his Christmas songs, he sings, "Why can't every day be like Christmas?" And what he means by that is the happiness and the joy and the love and the family and all that's in there. Maybe that's you today. And I would guess that's a lot of you today. But then there's another side that maybe it's a tough month for you. Maybe you've had to say goodbye to loved ones and all those memories flood back. Maybe your finances are not where you want them to be and you can't do for your family, or maybe there's just splinters in your family, and all of a sudden, instead of having that Elvis Presley, "Why can't every day be like Christmas?" we're more in the Merle Haggard, "If we just make it through December." Wherever you are today, I want you to know that circumstances don't determine joy. Presents don't determine joy. Jesus Christ determines joy. Joy to the world, we sang it today, is one of the most familiar songs of the Christmas season. But long before Isaac Watts wrote the hymn, the angels declared to the world these words that make up that Christian anthem. In Luke chapter 2 today, which will be our text, Luke chapter 2 verse 10 that was read to us earlier by Tucker, we're reminded those angels there say, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." What a verse, right? What a reminder. I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. I can live by that. You can live by that. And in fact, today, if we walk out of here with who He's talking about, and that is Jesus Christ, we all should be living by that. We should tell others about that. We should let others know, let me tell you what joy is, where joy comes from, and let me tell you about my Jesus. You see, because here is joy. Joy is not a moment of happiness. Joy is not a temporary emotional boost. You'll notice these children, the closer it gets to bedtime on the 24th, boy, you're going to get anything you want out of them. Okay? Their happiness is going to rise. Their excitement's going to rise. They got a little bit of anxiety too, some of them, maybe. But at the end of the day, that morning when they wake up, they're going to have so much we might say joy, but it's really just happiness. And we might find that happiness in watching them and do those things. That's not joy. Yes, it's happiness, and that's a good thing too. But great joy, or this incomparable joy that the angel is announcing in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, is a joy that is deeper than fear. It's way stronger than sorrow, and it's brighter than any darkness Satan can try to throw our way. You see, God announced this joy, and He announced it in the most unexpected place. That's who God is, right? 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us. We talked about how God longed to have family. It started out in the unseen realm, and when it became in the realm that we can see, man has messed it up. But it took God, through Jesus, coming to dwell with us, live with us, Emmanuel. Then last week we talked about the darkness that all that created, and God has been light ever since the beginning. In fact, in Genesis 1:3, let there be light, right? And so all that light, it shone and it came into the world through those centuries of darkness where there was no words being spoken. Jesus, light, showed up in a little town called Bethlehem. Today, we can look around and see how our God works in the most unexpected ways. And so here's what He did. He announced joy that's recorded in Luke 10 in the most unexpected place to the most unlikely people and at the most uncertain time. But this message, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This message, it's still God's message to us today. You see, joy has come into the world because Jesus has come into the world. This text right here in Luke 10, there are three things I want to talk with you about today. They're life-changing truths if we will adopt them. They are life-changing truths that we will understand and appreciate and carry with us about Christian joy. Here's number one. Boy, this is beautiful. Joy comes to the overlooked. Look at the Scripture now. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And in the same region, there were shepherds. That's real important to see in this point. There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. You see, the shepherds were not the likely recipients of the Messiah's announcement. You think about it now. You got to let it harmonize together. Going back, God spoke through the patriarchs, right? There was no written law, and so He told the heads of the families, this is what you should do. This is the morals. We all have a moral code, and it was written on us. For instance, there's no written law, but Cain knew it was wrong to murder Abel, right? And so all that to say, that was the patriarchal period. Well, then came Moses. And Moses he went up, you know the story, Mount Sinai, he had the written law. And that became the Mosaic period. That's when they went by what God said. And remember, that law was for the Jews. There were 10 commandments, but off of that broke like 617 other commandments. Well, then after that, after the Mosaic Law, time went through. Of course, Israel became a nation. Then they split and everything else. And you had the prophetic age where God would speak through the prophets. And He would talk to the prophets. And they would, the words that they said, Isaiah's, the Jeremiah's, the Habakkuk's, all those, that the words that they said were the words that God miraculously put on their heart. Well, then God went silent. There was no word said for 400 years. So in their minds, through this law, through these silence, through these things that were handed down throughout the generations of these Jewish leaders, they have determined in their mind what a Messiah is going to look like, how He's going to reign. I'm sure the highest ranking Pharisees thought, or maybe even the high priest, He's going to make that announcement to us one day. God said, that's not who I am. So everything that they imagined, God did it totally opposite. And He did it for purpose. And it should speak to us today. It should resonate with us today. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what rank you hold. It doesn't matter how spiritual you have been when it comes to spiritual things. It doesn't even matter if you're a Christian today. God sent joy to all the world. And He started with the shepherds. Shepherds at that time, they didn't have a lot of money. So they were economically poor. If you didn't have a lot of money, then you're probably socially disregarded. The religious people thought a lot of them were unclean, the Pharisees and such, because they were, you know, they didn't look like them, they didn't talk like them, they didn't act like them. And certainly they would have been considered unreliable witnesses. But heaven opened up. And it opened over a field. It didn't open over a palace. It didn't open over a throne room. It opened over a field. God bypassed Herod's throne, Caesar's court, and the temple elite, and He chose the overlooked. He chose the shepherds. You see, joy begins where grace begins, in the lowest of places. Joy is not earned. Joy is not achieved. Joy here is announced to us before it's ever produced in us. Some of the greatest joy in life is found not when we are our strongest. You know, right now, if strong in your faith, maybe you do feel a lot of joy. But oftentimes, the way God works, the way He worked then, the way He still works today, that joy that God, that great joy that He promised, it's found when we realize God notices us when the world doesn't. It's the difference between darkness and light. Light has fellowship with another. Darkness and light do not fellowship well. Even in the religious world, you can have darkness. Now, Jesus came to shine on us all. But here, God chose those shepherds, those that were overlooked. Maybe today you feel overlooked. Maybe you feel unappreciated. Maybe you feel like, hey, nobody even notices. Maybe you're like that shepherd, just trying to get by. Joy comes to people in the dark fields of life because Jesus comes to the people in the dark fields of life. Joy doesn't depend on our greatness. It depends on Jesus and God's amazing grace. Secondly, we learn from this text this morning that joy is rooted in good news, not in good conditions. In Luke 2:10, again, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." I highlight and underline that in my Bible. Now, some of you have a physical Bible. You do that. Even in these electronic Bibles, you can highlight that. Because it didn't say a little bit of joy. It says great joy. Great joy. That's one thing I like about the ESV. It does a good job of bringing the Greek out in there. It's talking about not just a little bit of joy, not just a good joy. It's talking about great joy. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. See, joy, you remember after this, before this, they were in fear, right? The shepherds were. I mean, that was an amazing scene. This angel comes and it shines all around them and about this, feeling in fear. I want you to know this, joy is not the absence of fear. Joy is the presence of Jesus. Now, fear is still going to dominate our world, right? It may be dominating you right now. No. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, I'm a little bit afraid of what judgment's going to be. Well, you know, that's a natural cause. It's an unknown. Now, you know, as Christians, we ought not to be afraid of it because we're watching the blood of Jesus. But that's a fear, right? That's a fear people have. A fear of, hey, am I going to have enough money to last my retirement? Is it going to last? That's a fear. Again, now, you know, Matthew 6:33 says we put Him first, He'll always take care of us. But, I mean, we understand in life there are going to be fears. Doctor says, hey, I have bad news. That's a fear. Joy pushes fear aside. And the reason joy pushes fear aside is because it's at that moment that Jesus Christ is stepping into our fears. Think about that. What did He say? He said, cast your burdens on Me. He wants us to cast our fears, our burdens, our struggles on Him. Because here's what Jesus will do. In those dark times, in those overlooked moments, in those I don't feel good enough moments, He wants to step inside of that. And that's joy, fear. The joy is in the news, not the conditions. For instance, when this was announced to those shepherds, when they left there, guess what? They were still shepherds. Their circumstances didn't change. All of a sudden, it didn't make Rome this pushover, right? Rome was still oppressing them. Israel still remained in turmoil. The people all around them were still poor. They still had fields that they had to get back and work, flocks that they had to go take care of. So the circumstances is not where the joy is. It's in the announcement. You see, at the announcement of Jesus Christ, hearts changed because now their focus has changed. 400 years, there's been no word from a prophet. Now all of a sudden an angel appears in a shepherd to the overlook in a dark field and he comes and he says, hey, I got good news. Good news of great joy and it's coming to all the people. At this word, they now had hope. Folks, if you're just trying to make it through December, true joy is not built on having a perfect December. True joy is not built on having a perfect family. True joy is certainly not built on being in a perfect world. True joy is built on a perfect Savior who decided to enter our imperfect world. So today, if you decide, hey, I want Jesus, therefore I want joy, I can't tell you your circumstances are going to change. If you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today, I can't tell you that tomorrow you're going to have a lot of money in your bank account, that your boss is going to be nicer, that your family's going to be whole. I can't tell you all those things, but I can promise you this. Your focus won't be on circumstances, it'll be on Jesus. Joy doesn't come from from how your life looks. Joy comes from who your Lord is. But thirdly this morning, as we're talking about joy and we're talking about the good news and we're talking about Jesus coming into this world, we're also reminded, and I like this, and I guess probably this is the first time I've ever preached this passage that I've put this all together. Joy is found in a Savior, a Christ, and a Lord. Look at Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel gives Jesus three titles right here. And every one of them unlocks a dimension of joy. Let's talk about joy in Jesus as the Savior. What did that mean? When he said joy is found, or when we say joy is found in a Savior, the angel said, to this day, the city of David, a Savior is born. When we're talking about that, what does it mean? It means if I have a Savior, then the deepest problem that I will ever face has been removed. Can you not find joy in that? Our greatest problem today is not how much money we'll have to borrow. Our greatest problem today is not, is my family going to be whole tomorrow? Our greatest problem today is not some political pundit out there talking about how miserable life is. Our greatest problem today is not stress, it's not struggle, it's sin. It's sin. And because in the city of David, a Savior was born, a Christian with forgiven sins will always have a reason to have joy. Unto you this day, a Savior. That means He saved us from our sins. But then He goes on to say, a Christ. So how do we find joy in Jesus as Christ? What does it mean? That means that God, through this Christ, has fulfilled God's oldest promises. Christ literally means anointed one. This was the promise of the long-awaited Messiah. When He said, in the city of David, a Savior, that means He's going to save y'all from your sins. But when He said, a Christ, that spoke to them because this is the one. The one they've been longing for. Ever since sin was created, in the Garden of Eden, ever since they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God's had the plan all along, but His scheme of redemption, and throughout Genesis, all the way to Malachi, there was a promise of a Messiah. Through the patriarchs, through the Mosaic age, through the prophetic age, through the silent centuries, they long waited the answer that they'd been looking for. And so the angel announces, unto you, this day, the Christ has been born. See, His coming meant at that moment and even to this moment today, God keeps His promises and never forgets His people. And that ought to bring us joy. Today I'd love to tell you that I'll never let you down. But I am human. And I just don't know that I can make that promise to you. Now I'll do my best not to, but I don't think I can make that promise to you. I don't think a husband can look at their wife or a wife can look at their husband and say, I will never hurt you. Listen, I think we ought to strive not to. But I think that's a promise because we're human, we just can't keep. Parents to their children, children to their parents. But when God makes a promise, it will always come true. And that promise was fulfilled as it was announced in that field today. Christ has been born. But then he also said, today the Lord has been born. A Savior, Christ the Lord. So how do we find joy in Jesus as Lord? What does it mean? That means he needs to reign over every moment of our lives. That means every moment we also will face in life. If Jesus is Lord today, guess what? Nothing's surprising him. You're not going to surprise Jesus. You're not going to surprise him with the things that are happening in your life. They may be surprises to us, but they're not going to be surprises to him. If he is Lord over us, he's all-knowing, right? Nothing's going to overpower him. Think about that. I don't know. I got into this yesterday. I go off sometimes on silly things, and I got into looking about arm wrestling. That may be the craziest thing I've ever said from this pulpit. But looking at these champion arm wrestlers and how a small guy can take a guy that just looks like he could eat him and slam him in arm wrestling. It reminded me that, you know, it's not always in the size. It's not always in the build. It's not always how big a person is that person could not overpower them. Well, it made me think about what can overpower our Lord. I've seen so many times before when they draw Jesus, and again, I think people are probably doing their best, but they depict him as very malnourished, very pale, very weak. Even as a man, I don't think he was that way. He was a carpenter. He could turn tables over when he had to. He was strong. He was this. But take the physical side out of it and now make it all spiritual. What can beat our God? But he has to be Lord. Joy grows as our trust in his lordship grows. You see, to this day, a Savior, joy. Christ, joy. Lord, joy. And you know what that leads us to? Those are the things we learn from it, but here's what it leads us to. Finally today, it reminds us that joy should overflow into praise. Luke 2, verse 14, after all of this, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, joy should not ever stay silent. Heaven needs to be praised. When it came to the announcement of Jesus, heaven praised that announcement. The shepherds praised that announcement. Everyone who heard the news praised it. And we've got so much to praise today. Not just the announcement, not just the hope of heaven, not just Almighty God who lives in heaven, not just Jesus, not just the church. All of it put together, right? Forgiveness, salvation. Put it all together. Look at the joy that's waiting on us. True joy should move from the head to the heart to the mouth. If we're experiencing that kind of joy, shouldn't we want to tell others about it? Joy becomes praise. Praise becomes strength. And strength becomes our witness, our testimony, our story, the way we talk to others about Jesus. Whoop. Didn't mean to get there. I'm not leading the invitation song. The angels didn't say, good news will come one day. Go back to the text. They didn't say, good news will come one day. They said, joy has come this day. This day. The day that Jesus Christ entered the world, joy entered the world. Joy's not just a Christmas sentiment. It better be a present reality in our lives. If you're overlooked today, joy has come to you. If you're afraid today, joy has come to calm you. If you are weary today, joy has come to strengthen you. If you're sinful today, joy has come to save you. Because Jesus has come, joy has come. And it can come to your home. It can come to your heart. It can come to your family. It can come to your future. And it can come into your world and cast out all the fears. The angel said, good news of great joy for all the people. But joy only becomes your joy when Jesus becomes your Savior, your Christ, and your Lord. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. By the way, the song was not written about Jesus' birth. It was written about His return. My good brother and mentor, one of my mentors, Rudy Pierce, used to say, He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Today, are we ready for that return? Do you have that joy? Do you have Jesus? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Is He your Christ? If He is not, today, walk this aisle. Confess that He is the Son of God. Be immersed in water so that God will contact you with His blood and that will wash away your sins. It will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit and it will add you to His church. Today, if you've done that and you allow joy to creep out and the world to creep in, today, you can turn from all that. You can come home. The invitation is open. He's coming back. Are we ready? If not, let's get ready right now as together we stand and sing.